This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Emergency responders throughout Texas continue to struggle with another round of storms. This has been the wettest May on record. The rainfall has recharged dry reservoirs and effectively ended the drought, but at a price. Over 20 lives have been lost, and there's untold flood damage. This is literally a disaster, but with so much rain, there could be no way of avoiding having a disaster. But could better planning, emergency management, and state standards for flood insurance help in reducing the damage and the lives lost? Curtis B. Beidel is the president of the Texas section of the American Society of Civil Engineers.
First, my heart goes out to the flood damage victims. Often they weren't aware of the flood risk when they purchased their homes. Really, floodplain management is managed on the local level by cities and counties, mostly through a program that FEMA has for the National Flood Insurance Program. In return for communities regulating development in their floodplains, FEMA provides federally backed flood insurance at a significantly discounted rate. So a lot of those areas are chronically underinsured, typically only about 20 to 30% of the properties in the floodplain even have insurance. So that's usually the second thing that I think of is I hope that they have flood insurance to help them recover from those damages.
Now, Texas does not require communities to enroll in the National Flood Insurance Program, even though Texas ranks second only to Florida in its number of total flood insurance policies across its communities.
That's correct. It's still a voluntary program. It requires kind of some grassroots advocacy of the citizens of each community to get their leaders to participate in that program and make the flood insurance available.
What kind of difference would it make if Texas did require communities to enroll in the National Flood Insurance Program? Would many of these homes of homeowners who now are finding out that they're not covered would have been covered?
Well, I think that most of our communities and larger communities in Texas do participate. That requirement would, require a lot of the more rural communities and especially the counties. I mean, Texas has an awful lot of counties, especially out in West Texas, that are sparsely populated. So a lot of the non-participating groups are out in those rural counties that don't have a whole lot of infrastructure and development in their floodplains at risk in the first place. It would help catch a few.
Sure. So it comes down to that Texas is basically leaving flood planning to cities and counties, and so we end up with a patchwork.
Yes, we do. And the funding of flood control projects that the cities and counties are able to provide really only comes from a couple of sources. It comes from their property tax funding. Some cities also have stormwater utility fees that can be used to help fund some of the projects as well. And then there's a handful of grant programs made available through FEMA and up in the Texas Water Development Board that can help with the planning and construction of flood control projects. But it is a patchwork quilt with quite a few gaps in it.
So Texas has no centralized flood control program, and it leaves the responsibility of that to cities and counties. But cities frequently strapped for cash, don't always build that infrastructure that they need. Frequently there's localized pressure to keep taxes down, and hey, we're in a drought, we don't need to plan for a flood, right?
Yep.
But we see that in 2012, of the 27 Army Corps of Engineer flood-reducing projects that the state had applied for, only 12 received federal funding, and they're saying that's because of the lack of money that the local sponsors came up with, matching funds. Had there been some Texas central planning, that many of these flood control projects would be green-lit?
Yes, the Corps does require a local sponsor for each one of those projects, and that local sponsor has to be able to raise their matching share of funding, and that can be a challenge for some of the smaller communities to accomplish. a statewide coordination effort would, you know, may help help them raise that funding. But it still comes down to a local issue because, I mean, fundamentally, floodplain decisions are local property decisions, and here in Texas, property rights tend to have a very high priority. That's what results in some of the decisions in the past that were made to, you know, to develop areas that are down close to the floodplain.
We still have many areas in Texas that are in floodplains that are not well mapped. People buy homes not knowing that they're in a floodplain.
Yes, and you know, our understanding of where those areas are has evolved. A lot of areas in Texas developed before the 1960s when there was no federal floodplain mapping program. So these areas weren't identified when older parts of town were developed originally. And then, you know, the NFIP started in the 1970s with a effort to map these areas that are at risk. And our methods have evolved since then as well. So on occasion, FEMA updates the floodplain maps and identifies larger areas that are at risk. But the existing development in those areas is located where it is. And there are very limited resources for property owners to be able to mitigate their flood risk in terms of, you know, floodproofing or elevating their structures.
It comes down to risk management and trying to manage what we want today against the future possibility of an unexpected event. Like, there's no way we could have predicted that we were going to get this much rain this quickly in May. There would have been a flood no matter what. And some areas would have flooded that never had flooded before.
Well, I guess the federal flood risk standard currently is the 100-year flood or a 1% chance flood, which is a flood that has, you know, a 1% chance of occurring in any given year. But there are larger flood events that can and do occur. In fact, we've set a number of national rainfall records there along the Balcones Escarpment in the San Antonio area. So, I mean, larger rainfall events do occur, and some of that is probably what we've been seeing this month in terms of the rainfall rates and then the saturated soils resulting in a higher percentage of runoff.
American Association of Civil Engineers, Texas section that you're president of, y'all had given the state a D for flood control projects. And now we're seeing what happens when you don't plan for the future?
Yes, and one of the primary criteria was the availability of funding, which, you know, there's not much availability of funding to address that risk statewide. It obviously is a risk. It's only shown, you know, when you are in periods of heavy rain.
And your documents show that Texas ranks among the worst of any state for flood control spending.
Yes, it is largely because we're such a large state, and then the strength of the property rights in Texas as well has resulted in a good amount of development in high risk areas.
Curtis B. Beidle is the president of the Texas section of the American Society of Civil Engineers.